The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, don't skip ahead just yet. I'm going to make this fast. The rocket fuel that keeps this show going is our community of Patreon subscribers at patreon.com/BobSiskaShow. So if you can afford it, please consider signing up for at least $1 or $5 per month on our Patreon page. And depending on your pledge, you're going to get all kinds of bonus content from me and my troop of co-hosts. Plus, it's actually the best place to contact me in person as we continue to post exclusive content like our Shadow Docket shows twice per week, as well as the Friday After Party podcast and commercial-free versions of this show. So get going. Again, that's BobSiskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSiskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
I protest. I am not a merry man.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Wednesday, May 1, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Interview on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,198 of the Biden-Harris administration, 188 days into the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. So it's Cliff Schechter Day again, and right in the nick of time. You might know Cliff from his popular YouTube channel, link in the description, and from his regular appearances on the Stephanie Miller Show, Start Me Up with Kimberly Johnson, The Mary Trump Show, The Daily Beans, and about once a month on this show. So today we talked about the ongoing existential threat to democracy, the Time magazine profile about Trump's plans for a second term, the Tennessee law allowing teachers to carry guns in school, and a whole lot more. So stick around for this one. Meantime, don't forget to support this podcast by subscribing to us at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Okay, this is me talking with Cliff.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
I've got this pessimistic thing going on right now. In fact, I was on the Stephanie Miller Show this morning, just screaming my head off. Where are you on all of this, Cliff?
I'm still very confident we're going to win this election.
Good.
Because of who we're up against.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know, actually, yeah.
I am. I mean, it's very, very helpful to us. Like, it's almost perplexing to me how the Russians didn't decide to get behind a clever fascist instead of this buffoon.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, maybe they felt like a Ted Cruz or a Josh Hawley wasn't as controllable because they actually have, as much as they're assholes, they have firing neurons and functioning cerebral cortexes. So, you know, they might have thoughts of their own, and they want this buffoon they completely own clearly and control. But I mean, that's the thing, is he's so self-defeating. That Time magazine article he just did, I mean, you know, every time he opens his mouth, again, like I think I've said this to you, credited you with this in the past, the phrase of Trump's own worst enemy is Trump or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he goes through all this hard work to try to pretend he's a moderate on abortion, but then he's such a jackass that he's such a low self-esteem fucking loser that he needs to take credit for things constantly. So he has to take credit for that Roe versus Wade was, you know, overturned. Nobody could do it, but I could because I'm better than everybody else.
Yeah.
As opposed to being in the right, you know, the wrong place for the rest of us at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having Putin help steal an election and whatever. Point being, there's no genius accomplishment there, but he has to make it like there is. And so he can't shut the fuck up about being the key force in helping overturn Roe versus Wade. So you see it in that Time magazine article. It's like, well, we're going to monitor. I mean, that's going to go over great. We're going to be monitoring women in red states.
It's completely terrifying, the Time magazine piece. In fact, I kind of thought that it would be a bigger point of discussion here. You know what I mean? We're talking about a guy who will probably appoint Ken Paxton to be his next attorney general. I mean, that's an actual thing that could happen. And
I think he'll just say, I don't, he'll have his people come up with an interpretation from the Constitution saying, we don't need advice and consent anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to appoint whoever I feel like. Like, if he wins, there'll be a lot of that kind of stuff. And so you're right. That will happen. It is horrifying. And it should be something again. But how many different things should be something we should cover more?
Mm-hmm.
But then we have Katie Turr sitting there on MSNBC like, it wasn't his fault that the economy was bad. It was COVID. To which Nancy Pelosi handed her ass rightfully.
Yeah.
Worst jobs record ever. I mean, nobody else, by the way, has ever gone through anything bad in the history of the United States that would affect their jobs record. Just Donald Trump. I mean, there wasn't something called the Great Depression. Depression in the 1890s.
Yeah.
There wasn't, a civil war. There wasn't, worst fucking jobs record ever. And she tries to defend him. And again, Arthur Sulzberger, the fucking asshole, publisher of the New York Times, who's giving bad, we find out is some of these articles on Biden's age because he's peeved that Biden gave him a sit-down interview. Well, he can stick it up his ass. I hope Biden never gives them an interview. Fuck them and their coverage. It's harmed this country so beyond belief.
Yeah.
So, you want to know why? Like, that's not getting broader coverage? That's why.
Yeah.
Because the people that are supposed to be giving it broader coverage suck.
I wonder, Cliff, how many voters agree with Katie Turr? Like, okay, we're not going to blame Donald Trump for the calamities that occurred in 2020, because what are you going to do? I mean, he could have done everything right, and it still would have destroyed.
Oh, my God. He would have been like FDR if it hadn't been for the pandemic, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm wondering how many voters actually agree with Katie Turr that, okay, yes, we're nostalgic for the Donald Trump era. And, after all, the COVID thing, who cares? We're going to yada, yada, yada that away. I mean, that just seems like the attitude.
Yeah, let's pretend that didn't. Well, you've seen it in the way his people talk, right? Like, they try to pretend. They're like, are you better off than you were 3 years ago? Like, they often say 3 years. They want you to forget there was that other year.
Right.
Not that he didn't do awful things those years, too. Just the most awful thing. Mm-hmm. He's trying to, as you said, yada, yada away. And people like Katie Turr help that.
Yeah.
Under the usual careerist bullshit false balance stuff. She wants to pretend like, oh, I'm being tough. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi was having none of it and said, well, maybe your job is to be an apologist for Donald Trump. That's not my job, was such a fucking chef's kiss answer.
Yeah.
To which you could see this look on Turr's face of this sort of smirk behind it, like, I'd like to kill you because you just destroyed me. But that's what we're dealing with, right? People that just don't seem to, they either seem to lack the big picture or just don't care. They assume it'll all work out. It'll be fine. I won't, I'm a reporter who most dictators freaking hate reporters, right?
Yes,
but I'm
going to
be fine. I won't end up in a concentration camp. He won't turn on me. I mean, this is somebody who, if you remember correctly, in 2016 had to be escorted out of one of his events because he called her out and some of his MAGA goons were rushing like the press pen area and wanted to attack her. And she still has the arrogance to think it can't happen to her.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I get the sense that a lot of members of the political press, and not everyone, of course, but I get a sense that enough of them maybe believe that all of this shit about Project 2025 and Agenda 47 and all these plans to prosecute and surveil women in this country, which Donald Trump pledged to do in that Time magazine piece we were just talking about. It seems like there are a lot of members of the political press who believe that's all just partisan hyperbole. Like, oh, well, the Democrats are just saying that so they can win the election and scare people.
Of course it is.
It's only a real thing, though. Yeah.
It's only all in writing.
Yeah,
he's only been quoted saying all of it. And these are only the same jackasses who in 2016 said, oh my God, you guys are so hysterical. Overturn Roe versus Wade, that's never gonna happen. That can't happen.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just an amazing record of being wrong and wrong and wrong again, but still in their little coddled, you know, well-paid lives, not having it affect them until it affects them.
Yeah.
Which is usually when it affects you as a reporter, is usually, I hate to say it, but when you've reached the killing fields phase where there's not much you can do anymore, you know, you're the enemy of the people at that point, mm-hmm. and you're done.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe on your cattle car ride, you regret that you were such an asshole that you didn't listen to people like us.
Mm.
But that doesn't help us at all right now in terms of preventing it from happening. It's like, it reminds me of all the Trumpers, right?
Yeah.
Who are like, oh, you know, the all the lawyers before me were, you know, ended up disbarred and not paid and completely destroyed, but I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It won't happen to me. I mean, it's like the press seems to have the same amazing capacity as people that were once respectable Republicans that go work for Trump who think it'll all be fine and I'll emerge unscathed.
Yeah.
And inevitably, they all suffer. Either they all get indicted, destroyed, bankrupted. Donald Trump turns on them and insults them. You know, think of people like Mo Brooks and others who you know, Jeff Sessions and whatever. Like, you know, it's incredible. The denial, the self-denial these people can go through. So, I mean, that's the reason. I mean, in a democracy, and one that respects principles that we're supposed to respect in a democracy, seeing that thing, seeing that interview by Donald Trump should be enough to literally cover every newspaper cover and be discussed on every cable station.
No shit.
It should, forget five alarm fire, it mm-hmm. should be a fucking hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not one, by the way, that's sharpied on. But a real one.
Well said. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
But I mean,
it should scare the shit out of everybody. And I mean, what he said in that thing, sending in the military to our cities to deport 11. I mean, if you see what's, you know, stuff, and I don't want to get into it all because there's varying opinions, but all stuff going on college campuses with police and students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see anything bad happening if you send our military into our cities.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to turn out fucking great.
Yeah,
I'm sure that you know no possibility that a populace where lots of yahoos own AR-15s and the like are going to decide they feel like shooting some police,
right.
And God knows what the end result of all of that is. And you deport all of these people, whatever. Sorry, my phone.
Oh, it's okay.
Phone.
I get the sense that the political press, and again, certain members of the political press, are covering this election with the predisposition that if the American voters in a democracy choose to relinquish that democracy, that is the democratic process playing out. And if that democratic process leads to tyranny, dictatorship, and fascism, then that's what the people wanted. So that's what democracy
right.
is all about. Do you get the sense that that's a thing? I mean, that's one of the
oh,
I'm just trying to.
Do.
Okay. Yeah.
I absolutely do. But it's bigger. To me, that's only part of it, right? And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and that part of it, even in and of itself, that part of it is insane.
Yeah, it is.
That, again, how many examples do you need from history, from, you know, Lenin to Idi Amin to Pol Pot to Hitler to Mussolini to Suharto to, you know, I can go on naming them forever, Pinochet. And I mean, that if you believe in basic sort of post-Enlightenment rights, you know, that people should have and you know, a modern society and all this kind of thing, you know, or even look at, sadly, some of the Muslim countries that went backwards with dictatorships and some of the, you know, and frankly, a couple Christian European countries like Hungary, you know, and Russia,
mm-hmm.
like that you wouldn't look at that and say, we do need to put our finger in the scale. And a number of reporters have said this, we need to be partisans for democracy and fight every last fight to make sure that you know, the rest, let people debate conservative versus liberal, center-right versus center-left, even somewhat far-right versus somewhat far-left, as long as it's within the realm of electoral politics.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, if they don't at least try to do that, I don't understand what's wrong with them. But to me, it's more insidious. It's well, you said it yourself, the neutrality thing. Yeah. They don't understand what real neutrality is. Mm-hmm. They don't get what, I don't think somebody should hold a dictionary up so they understand what the fucking word means. Neutrality doesn't mean that everything is equal. Neutrality means you're neutral and you report what is actually happening.
Yeah.
So even if they believed it's okay if the people choose to overthrow democracy, well, at least make sure the people that do that know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even believe it's their responsibility to do that. They just think it's their responsibility to be like, well, yeah, Trump said, and Biden said this, and blah, 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 and they're both old. I mean, they don't believe that there's nothing Biden has ever said that remotely comes anything close to what Donald Trump said in that, just in that Trump piece.
Yeah.
That Time magazine piece. And like, you know, these are it is their job, definitively, it is their job. It is literally written in the Constitution. They are a bulwark against authoritarianism, and they do that by informing people so we actually know who stands for what, what's going on. So people get, if I vote for Donald Trump, I am going to get this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get 11 million deportations. I'm going to get the military in our cities. I'm going to get women's menstrual cycles being monitored in red states, possibly the entire country if they get their will. And he said he's going to fire prosecutors who won't carry out his will, which you should do. Everyone should just sort of do the math on that and very simply realize that doesn't mean who won't carry out his will in terms of like they have a case and they won't. You know, they won't go after it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Donald Trump says, I don't like that person, throw them in prison. And they say, no, he fires them and brings in somebody who will.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, if the media can't see that's their role to tell people, and you're seeing, again, more and more people are understanding this, right? I mean, hopefully before it's too late. The one I've talked about recently, who I've been really, really impressed with, is George Stephanopoulos, who finally threw off the shackles of the both sides bullshit. I think it maybe started with Nancy Mace when she sat there and lied to his face and then after demagogued and claimed that he was attacking her for being a victim or something.
Yeah.
You know, completely twisted everything that happened. And maybe that was his fuck it point for George Stephanopoulos. But since then, his last show on Sunday is something, the one he did this past Sunday, his sort of introduction is something everybody should watch. You know, where he said, this is not a normal election. We can't pretend this is a normal election. This is an election where it has never in history happened in history before where we've had a president found guilty, you know, in a civil trial of rape. It has never happened in American history before, or a presidential candidate who has a legit shot at winning, you know, is sitting for a trial, a hush money trial for paying off a porn star, you know, for being looked into for stealing state secrets and whatever, where we've never had an election before where we haven't had both candidates who have expressed full dedication to the rule of law, where one of them has actively said they don't believe in the rule of law. He did all of this. And to me, if everyone were doing that, it is such a public service. 2 weeks ago, again, it may not be a major thing, but potentially in a swing state, it was the editor of the Cleveland Plain Dealer who came out and wrote this statement that went viral and said, we will not cover this like a normal election. It cannot be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we will, of course, we're not going to stop covering when Joe Biden does things that need to be criticized. But we have one side that is they are dedicated to democracy and the rule of law, and the other that wants to overthrow that. And we are going to, our coverage will reflect that. And you know, there's others, obviously, a few that even ended up getting fired from their, you know, where they were, John Harwood at CNN and others, because they started early on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This exact thing. But it was heartening to see Stephanopoulos doing that because ABC News has a lot of influence. A lot of people watch it. And frankly, maybe, you know, it'll influence that, you know, bot Kristen Welker over there, who is making a mockery of Meet the Press.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I've taken crazy pills, Cliff, because I'm looking at what's...
Every day I feel that way.
Yeah, I know. But we're all looking at democracy as something that's on the chopping block right now. This election is about democracy or not democracy. That's the choice on the ballot. And I feel as though... And I'm not going to disparage anyone who's peacefully protesting. I want to be clear about that. However, I feel like the lion's share of the protests in this country, especially from young people who have had to grow up with guns in schools and mass shootings and all of the horrendousness that the Republican Party has foisted on the American public, in addition to not having control over your own body, et cetera, and on down the line, I feel as though the protests should be geared toward the disintegration of democracy in this country. Why is this happening, and what can we do to stop it? And I get the sense that, as we often do on the left, we're waiting until it's too late. We're going to wait until the day after inauguration or the day after election day to take to the streets and start protesting whatever surrounding the existential threat to democracy. I can't fathom why that's not happening, why there isn't more outrage, why the Biden campaign in particular has backed off the democracy issue.
Yeah,
because it isn't resonating with voters as much as they thought it would be. And that is so disheartening.
Is that what they said that?
Yeah. This, strategically, they're going after more of the meat and potato issues, the economic issues.
Well,
scran values
on abortion
versus
rights.
Yeah.
They've definitely talked about abortion rights.
That's for sure.
Right. I haven't heard as much about, and I fully agree with you, because part of it, you know, the part that Democrats have never gotten as well as Republicans is, you know, you don't look at, like, poll numbers, and most polls today are crazy and off anyhow, but let's say they're correct. You don't get poll numbers and say, okay, how do we bend ourselves to get to that? You move people to you with emotive arguing and explaining to them what is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And the Biden people were doing a really good job of that for a while, but now that you bring it up, I haven't heard as much from them. I have heard a pretty good amount of it from a number of candidates running for high office, for Senate, for governors, for things like that. So, I mean, you're still hearing it out there, but it should be so much more when things like that Time Magazine article is going on. And look, I didn't want to get into it, but now you've dragged me.
You can blame me, Cliff. If you get bad emails and replies on Twitter,
I don't care about
me.
That. Yeah. I just want to keep everybody's eye on the ball. And I'm not going to sit here and get into the back and forth about the campus protests too.
Yeah.
What I will say is, peaceful protest is something I always support.
Yeah.
As a supporter of that right of assembly and free speech.
Yeah, same.
Violent, you know, and there are different factions here. There are plenty of people out there that are peacefully out there protesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people who are out there violently. I know I've heard some of it and seen some of it, you know, obviously, who are yelling anti-Semitic slogans and threatening people, and we've seen it on video where they're grabbing people and assaulting people. No, that's not acceptable. And my problem is that how people that I think are smart people on the left, you know, don't get, like, that this is still Russia, you know, that this is what they do, that any study of what they've done the last 20, I mean, you were one of the early ones on the Snowden case, that any study of what they've done the last, you know, during the Putin years is they come at and they destroy societies from the extremes.
Yep.
They come at it from the from the far right and from the far left. And in this instance here, they had Jill Stein, of course, who, you know, used a Russian talking point just the other day at one of these rallies and said that the Jewish people had Poland. Yes, Jill. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The place where that maybe, you know, the place where maybe more Jews were killed during the Holocaust than anywhere else. Yes, that Poland's a safe homeland for the Jews. You really nailed that one. but I mean, but the thing is that it's, you know, it's quite clear, not just from stupid shit she's saying, from stuff that Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying on the floor of the, you know, when it comes to Ukraine, at least, on the floor of the House, which three different Republicans, Ken Buck, who calls her Moscow Marjorie and left the House already, but also Mike Turner, who's no liberal, who's on the Intelligence Committee, and Dan Crenshaw, have all said there's Republican talking points coming from the floor from people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. So why people on the left can believe that, but then when you see the rise in bot and whatever activity by, you know, and you know that Hamas is a proxy of Iran, and that its leaders have met with Erdogan in Turkey, have met with Putin, are supported by them, why you wouldn't think that a lot of this is being stage managed by them, the violent protests, not the non-violent. I mean, We know that they created a fake Black Lives Matter group.
Yeah.
Right? In 2016. They've done this stuff before, not just in Europe, but to us.
In 1968.
Like, out there.
Yeah, yeah. 1968 at the Democratic Convention in Chicago, ironically enough, was obviously fomented. The protests there, the violence there was fomented by Pat Buchanan and the Republican Party, the Nixon team. They were all involved in that sort of thing. So it's a tried and true tactic to inflame protest situations so that the protesters are made to look like horrible people, and it's not entirely their fault. And so this is a lot of manipulation happening. And the thing that
definitely, look and think of how much easier it is. Yeah. You don't need reporters, I'm sure they obviously have that too, but you don't need to do it just via some reporters and politicians and others on your payroll at this point, mm-hmm. repeating your stuff on the couple TV stations that exist, and whatever, like in the 1960s. You've got cable TV and you have social media. It's the easiest thing to influence people in the world. You can buy off and use compromise on influencers, which I'm sure quite obviously they've done, but you also can influence the grassroots, influence everyday people with propaganda, with psyops. And it's why I've made the argument I've made about, the First Amendment in this country and why it is that we're extending it internationally to people that want to use propaganda to destroy our society. Mm-hmm. And anybody who, they've been caught. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. I don't need to make an argument anymore.
No.
Because Jill Stein sat at a table with Vladimir Putin and General Flynn, for fuck's sake, mm-hmm. To celebrate RT.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. Documents have been released. We know that they've reached out. We know that they created those fake Facebook groups. You'd have to be in denial, which some otherwise smart people on the left who I thought of as friends, thought of as intelligent people, are to not believe that a whole lot of this, particularly the violent part of it, the anti-Semitic part of it, isn't coming from Russia and pushing it. And again, that was a tactic that if you study history, that Russia has been doing since the 1960s. Mm-hmm. You can read academic papers about it. They devised a plan. What did they want to do? They wanted to divide the West.
Yep.
And they were allied with Arab countries. What do you do? What do you do when you're the nation that created the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and you've got all this propaganda? You push it out there. You try to turn people, against each other. You try to inflame racism and anti-Semitism. This isn't new.
Yeah.
It just is easier now because of all the ways they can reach out internationally that they didn't used to be able to do.
Okay, short break. Back after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. For people who know what's going on because they read newspapers or because they're getting their information from traditional media, Biden is the clear choice. Okay, Biden holds an 11-point lead among people who consume the news from traditional sources, newspapers, nightly news, cable news even, okay? People who get their information from social media, Trump is at 47, Biden's at 44. So obviously there are bad actors out there that are filling people's heads with garbage, garbage in, garbage out. And what scares me is that some of them may vote. It does show that people who don't get any news at all, they don't vote. There's some proof that they vote in very tiny numbers. That's the only solace I could get from looking at these numbers. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob's Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
Have you heard the story out of the Republican convention in Washington State where they are outright saying we must ban democracy, not just the term, but democracy as a system.
Itself.
Yeah,
there's a woman speaking there. I mean, I don't know if you've seen that video clip where she's just like, you know, the founders didn't want democracy. Democracy is bad. It's dangerous. You know, essentially she's like, we need to rewrite everywhere. I don't know if she may have even mentioned the Constitution. Who knows? Not that she has a clue what's in it. But, you know, we need to rewrite everywhere it says democracy to say republic. Or, you know, and for people to understand what that means, you know, a republic doesn't have to be a democratic republic. We are one. It's quite clear we are one.
Yes.
From all of our founding documents. But if you're just a republic, that means, you know, you just have appointed, you have figures who speak for you, who vote for you, you know, in some sort of a body somewhere.
Yeah, representative democracy, like,
you know, Right, but it's like when, you know, Darth Vader and Palpatine decide they no longer need the Senate and they disbanded it and just said, we're going to appoint governors, which, by the way, Vladimir Putin did. I think he got it from Star Wars, maybe. You know,
wouldn't that be insane? And, like, oh, yes, I got this idea from Star Wars. Thank you, George Lucas, for this great system.
That son of a.
I know,
he's trying to warn us about bad stuff instead he's giving people ideas. But I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, the consolidation of power that way. So then you have, quote, a republic, you have governors and you may have some kind of central body, but you didn't elect them. You didn't get to vote for them. Yeah. They're there to represent you, but they're not elected. It's not a democratic republic, and only certain people, probably what they're looking at is they only want certain people to vote. We all know who those certain people are.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and you know, Cliff, I wonder if China has a hand in some of the propaganda disinformation right now, because as we know, China is deeply involved in what happens on TikTok. And I'm not as ensconced on TikTok as a lot of people are. So sometimes, as the old man that I am, I worry about TikTok being the new Facebook. What Facebook was in 2016 for the rise of Donald Trump, TikTok may be that entity, that platform for the return of Donald Trump in 2024. Should I be worried? I mean, how involved in TikTok are you? Okay.
No, you should be. I mean, clearly China is pushing propaganda on there too. I mean, sorry, it's hard to mention all of the countries that are pushing propaganda that want to. I mean, just think of a country, and if there's an evil dictator running it, then there's somebody who sees Donald Trump as somebody they can do business with because bribery works, as opposed to the rule of law and international law and things that Democrats actually respect. So they would rather have the guy in there they know they can deal with. So what I mean, I mentioned, you know, Russia, and I mentioned Turkey, but Iran, Saudi Arabia, you know, China, all of these countries. I mean, they have a motivation to do this,
and
in their interest to do it.
Right. And they know that we're a bunch of suckers. They know that a lot of us will fall for it. Obviously, present company excluded, but there are quite a few people in the United States, as 2016 has shown, as the entire history of social media in recent years has proved, that we will believe whatever pops up in our social media feed. By and large, obviously, there's not everything resonates, but some shit does, and obviously they're taking advantage of that by following the Republican business model, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt.
I mean, not the Republican, but the Russian business model. See, I mix these two. Well, these two nouns get mixed up all the time. Republicans, Russians,
You know, the GRU, the RU, the RP, the, you know,
FSB.
RT. It's all the same thing. I mean, sadly, that's not so far from the truth, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a number of them that clearly don't know where they're getting their talking points for, don't know if they're sent directly by Vlad or some other means, but, you know, Ron Johnson and Rand Paul, if you just spin them up, if you turn their thing on their back, you know, they just repeat whatever Putin wants to say. Yeah. Ukraine bad. Don't defend Ukraine, you know, and things like that. I mean, they're Russian wind-up dolls. And so are a bunch of Republicans in the House, which, again, even other Republicans have admitted. So, I mean, of course, this is, and we we really, really need to get a handle on this.
Yeah, we do.
And we seem to refuse to be doing what it takes to get a handle on these things.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
There's no way Elon Musk, somebody with his history and his leanings and his clear conflicts of interest, should have been allowed to own Twitter. It's too powerful too powerful an instrument at this point to affect political discourse.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be an instrument that decides whether genocides take place. And this guy, it should have become a public utility at the point where it got to, you know, that kind of influence in our politics, or at least heavily, heavily regulated.
Yeah.
And TikTok's in the same place at this point. And I know it because I've got, you know, two boys who are teenagers who aren't on there like all the time, but they're on there enough to tell me what's going on. And they're like, it's dirty with all sorts of the kind of crap you would expect.
Yeah.
You know, anti-Semitism, anti-Americanism. I mean, for a while there, you know, whenever it was, right after the October 6th attack in Israel, like, there were people posting on there about how bin Laden was the good guy.
Oh,
he was a freedom fighter, right? Like, that was going around, this whole essay about how bin Laden was a freedom fighter and did what he needed to do. I mean, you know, like the people can do that. I mean, again, you know, maybe we are old men, but in our era, like, even then, you know, when I was active, more active as a consultant, well, I was active a few years ago, but it really was coming up in politics, I should say.
Mm.
You know, internet was around, email, you could influence people via email and direct mail and cable. And I mean, it's not to say none of that existed, but social media has just blown the whole thing up.
It really has, yeah.
You know, and Heather Thomas, the amazing actor turned like really funny Twitter presence.
She's got a great feed. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she really does. She had something on there, and she said the same thing. She was like, to anybody who doesn't think it's obvious that where there's violence, she's like, she said the same thing. I'm not talking about innocent. I'm not talking about, you know, like those who are out there protesting quietly and, you know, and not quietly, but like with respect and doing it peacefully. But like these violent sort of clashes, all this sort of stuff. Anybody who doesn't believe that this is emanating from some of these third countries, she's like, I see it on my, I think it was her daughter's, like, TikTok feed,
yeah,
encouraging people to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, it's right there. This isn't like, we don't need to do some sort of granular experiment, some detailed chemistry experiment to find it. It's right fucking there in front of you.
Yep. And one of the things that continues to astonish me is the fact that the Republican nominee was just charged and fined with contempt of court and will probably be again either at the end of this week or sometime next week. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's go on to this other thing.
No biggie. The guy that wants to be president is a fucking child who can't control himself for any, you know, for a couple minutes, but sure.
When we were coming up in Blogosphere 1.0, I remember Howard Dean getting laughed off the stage when he just went, yarr, you know, made that yelling noise, and that was it for his political career. Donald Trump was just fined for 10 instances of contempt. That's a 5-minute story in our crazy, crazy social media driven world these days. I don't understand it.
Man.
Yeah.
They finally did it, right? Which is they turned politics into WWE.
Yep.
I mean, we are getting closer and closer to that, to our politics becoming that world. Hell, Jesse Ventura was a governor, right? I mean, but, you know, we were getting more and more. It was becoming more celebrity based, more people that had famous names from acting, sports, things like that were being elected who had no business being there. I mean, there are some very smart people who had been in actors or in sports. So it's not to say that disqualifies you. Mm-hmm. Some very smart ones who've paid attention to politics, who've, you know, done things in politics and perfectly belonged in that, you know, in politics.
Yeah.
Right? But the difference between, and I didn't like this guy's policies, but the difference between someone like, let's say, Fred Thompson, who was a lawyer, you know, and worked to, you know, worked on the, I think it was in the Nixon hearings and whatever, before he became an actor and then ran. And again, I thought his policies sucked, but at least you could say like he had the background to be there. Hell, Reagan ran the Hollywood union.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, these are people that actually got involved in stuff, and then reality stars like, you know, Anna Paulina Luna, you know, who's like a fucking Instagram influencer who changed her last name, a la George Santos, lied about half the things that she did, and now she's there because she had internet fame. I mean, that's where we've gotten to. And as you said, the kinds of things that would used to make people like say, oh, you're done, right? There are a number of those moments. Even think about the number of moments in 2012 that did Mitt Romney in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hell, he put a dog in a car. Now we got puppy killers out there, right? Like, it's like, you know, or on top of a car. But in addition, remember when he said binders full of women and weird things like that, and those became stories? Donald Trump says things like that every 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
The things he does that are 20 times as bad as that don't break through.
I just like they've, don't get you know, it. Yeah.
With him and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert, and frankly, you know, most of it on the Republican side, but a few of them, Kyrsten Sinema on our side with her ridiculous outfits and whatever. Like, we've just destroyed the sort of, you know, the kind of, even the illusion that you had to have any substance to be in Washington or to get on TV to talk about politics when you, you know, I mean, Lauren Boebert can't finish a sentence or two about politics because she's so fucking stupid. I mean.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the dog thing, because it turns out that empathy for dogs is shockingly bipartisan. I had no idea it was going to play out this way, where both sides of the aisle are like, oh, fuck her for doing that to that poor puppy, shooting that puppy in the face with a goddamn shotgun. And Jeanine Pirro is the same, is on the same side as I am. It's incredible.
I was gonna say, when I saw Jeanine Pirro go after her as a dog lover, self-proclaimed dog lover, I was like, oh, you're fucked.
Right. But, you know, I wonder how the gnome story would have played out had it been Trump who shot the dog. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I mean, he would never, I don't think he would do it. I don't think he has it in him to do it. I think he's too fragile to do something like that. I don't think he could ever fire a gun without falling over backwards. But
no, he's a complete wimp. But the point you're making is, if he were to do something of that sort, and I think you're right. Maybe that would be one of the few bits of kryptonite for him. I don't know. I mean, there's such a cult at this point that he probably, after he said he did it, would just come out and deny it and be like, you know, I never said it.
Yeah,
and the media would be like, see, he never said it. That was fake. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. We get into that cycle of things. Yeah. But Kristi Noem, especially, again, the you know, you sort of live by the sword, you die by the sword.
You know,
these women that choose to enter MAGA and become part of that do it, and they know they're sex objects. They know that misogyny is rampant and that they will never be looked at equally in that culture as men are, and they do it. And then now she's paying the price for that, because I do think men could survive that more easily than women.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to make that point, Cliff. That's absolutely right. Continue on. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, it's just that much worse. I mean, this damn woman, what does she know about dogs, and what does she know about farming, and what does she know about horses? And turns out she shot pretty much everything.
Yeah.
I'm scared to ask her more questions and find out she shot like giraffes and, you know,
well,
E.T.
Look.
Kyrsten
Noem shot E.T. Can you imagine? You know what?
That
wouldn't
be
a surprise.
That should
be
our campaign slogan if she runs. I mean, she would. She'd be like, look, E.T. was sick.
Yeah.
You saw that, right? They had to take him to that special place. He was having trouble breathing. I put him out of his misery. I shot him right in the face.
Or worse, like when he was drinking all the beer and eating all the Reese's Pieces. Like, God damn him. He just cleaned out my refrigerator. So fuck
That's
you.
Right.
Bam. Right in the back of the
fuck
head.
Fuck you. Right.
Yeah.
The new ending where he's like, Elliot, and then you hear a shotgun, and then he gets blown across the room.
God.
That's like the that's the Kyrsten
Noem
version.
Cut. Yeah, release the Kyrsten Noem cut.
I mean, it's like it's incredible. Like horses. I had to put down three horses. Like this goat was mean because it wasn't castrated or was castrated. Hell, if you castrated me, I'd probably want to shoot you too. or attack you too. I don't remember what the story is, but she just has lots of stories about killing animals. And like, the interesting thing about it is she did it on purpose.
Yeah.
She completely misjudged them on that one thing, because again, it's become this cruel death cult.
Yes,
right?
It has.
It's become this, and we've talked about this, where cruelty is the point, you know, the saying that's been around for a while. But the more mean that you can prove that you are to people, the more food stamps you can take away, the more rights you can take away, the more immigrants you can try to force to drown like Greg Abbott, the tougher you show that you are. And she thought that would apply to dogs too, but it turns out cute little puppies, you know, I mean, taking him to the gravel pit, that almost sounds like a something that a metaphor that they would use in like Goodfellas or, yeah. You know, like, what are you doing with Jimmy? We're taking him to the gravel
pit. To the gravel pit.
And you're going to shoot him in the head. I mean, like, you know, it's amazing. Jesus. Like the gravel pit. I mean, just know in your life, whoever you are out there, Christy Noem ever invites you to go to the gravel pit, run.
Yeah.
It's not going to turn out good.
Word to the wise. Absolutely. And, you know, along the lines of guns, another story that isn't getting any conversation at all is the fact that Tennessee just passed a law allowing teachers to carry guns in schools. Bad idea, Cliff, or the worst idea?
I mean, you know, like, I've got a great idea. Like, why don't we just give everybody race cars who doesn't know how to drive?
Yeah.
Maybe a bunch of 16-year-olds and just be like, go.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the speed limit. See, I mean, it is that level of utter stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to do, I mean, that I'm aware of, any training. So you're handing a loaded weapon to a teacher. Now, other kids are going to know this teacher has this weapon, too.
Yeah.
So the sort of other results of that are kids may more heavily arm. Kids will know that if they're going to do something, they need to shoot the teacher first because the teacher's armed.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do? Does anybody want to be a teacher in Tennessee anymore? Anyone?
That's right.
Because but of course, I'm sorry. Like, there are a couple of cases in a few of these places where they did that. And they found like a gun left sitting in the bathroom stall. And, you know, like in other states, these things have happened. Because again, as somebody who shot on a rifle squad and has the stupid little NRA medals to prove, I should bring them in and put them up on my bulletin board there, which maybe I'll do. Like, I've shown them before.
Just wear them. Wear them on your, like.
That's right. I'll wear them on here. When we were on the range, this is when I was a kid, whatever, the instruction was so, like, you know, dire in terms of you even turn around with a weapon that's unloaded towards the crowd, you're kicked off the range, that you're done.
Right?
Like they were so serious about it. You had to spend so much time on the range shooting before they allowed, you know, prone, in the prone position before they allowed you to shoot standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had to get to each phase because you had to prove you knew how to use a fucking weapon.
Yeah.
And you weren't gonna hurt yourself or hurt somebody else. And their whole thing is, man, just hand a weapon to a teacher that's not trained. I mean, it's this—it's idiocy.
Yeah, yeah. In addition to that, we know that there are going to be teachers who are armed who are going to use that firearm in an inappropriate situation. And in addition to that, I get the sense that the Republican lawmakers in Tennessee have never seen a Matthew Broderick movie where if they knew anything about anything that goes on in a high school or in a grade school, for that matter, they know that if it's inside the school, eventually kids can get their hands on it, whether it's a copy of a test, whether it's some sort of contraband. This is something that has happened for decades, if not centuries, in school.
Forever.
If it's brought into the school, whether it's locked up or not, kids will find a way. It's like Jurassic Park. Life finds a way.
Only the most diligent teachers who lock it in a safe and keep it, you know, whatever. And you know, they're going to be the only ones. And there's some of those, and there's some terrific teachers.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, but if you're not trained with a weapon, you're not trained with a weapon. You know, I mean, do you want me? There's at the end of my block right now, they're knocking down some building to put up something new. Do you want to hand the tractor trailer keys over to me?
Yeah.
You know, do you want to hand the tractor over to me? So I'm the one, you know, going around crashing into everybody's cars, going through buildings by mistake and taking out pieces of the road.
Yeah.
No, for operating dangerous machinery that can kill people, there's a reason to require a license, and there's a reason to require that you spend lots and lots and lots of time to get that license by actually practicing what it is that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But not with their obsession with firearms. Nope. Anybody can have one.
Yeah. I hope that young people walking into a voting booth in November, early voting, however they're voting, will remember that if this election goes the wrong way, the Supreme Court will be pro-gun for the next three decades, at least. So these are all things, these are all points of consideration that I think especially young people need to bear in mind between now and November, don't you think?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Look, if you're young and you're looking at things out there, I mean, again, you can have feelings on what's going on in with Israel and Gaza. Mm. Although I would also ask you to pay attention to what's going on to the Rohingya. I would ask you to pay attention to what's going on to Armenians at the hands of Azerbaijanis. Mm. I would ask you to pay attention to what's going on in Sudan, where there's a genocide against the Tigray. I don't know how to pronounce it. People, like I would tell you, you know, maybe just don't make this one part of the world, but make it a multifaceted look at the world and the things going on, so you'll understand. You know, but that doesn't take away from, okay, so you've got strong feelings on this subject. Joe Biden doesn't have control over what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
He's tried, but Netanyahu is their Trump.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to deal with Trump. I mean, Netanyahu's horrible and has committed war crimes and is awful, and I think
that's right.
He should go to The Hague.
Yeah.
I'm not defending what Netanyahu has led and, frankly, what Israel has done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that doesn't take away from what happened on October 6th. You know, what Hamas did, it doesn't take away from the fact that Hamas still has hostages. And, it doesn't take away from the fact that, like, in the end, think about it when you're going in and voting about what's going on with the climate.
Yeah.
Think about, and that Joe Biden made the largest investments through the Inflation Reduction Act in climate change mitigation in the
Thank
history
you.
Of the world.
Yes.
Think about what's good, that he passed the only gun control legislation in the last 30 years. He was able to actually get Republicans on board, and it wasn't nearly enough,
mm-hmm.
but it closed the boyfriend. So if you're a young woman, the boyfriend loophole, where somebody who could, you know, it used to be that if you had committed, you know, a sort of a misdemeanor violent act, you know, and you were married or you lived with someone or you had a child with them, you couldn't get a gun. But the loophole was, if you're just the boyfriend who just was taking them out, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You could have committed domestic violence. You can still get a gun as long as it's a misdemeanor. Well, they closed that loophole. They
yep.
closed a gun trafficking loophole. If you're concerned about guns in school, you're concerned about our climate, you're concerned that you may be like normal, you know, college kids and people in their 20s sexually active, but don't want the state saying to you before you even know you're pregnant in Florida, which went into effect today
mm-hmm.
at 6 weeks. By the way, have fun being a mother.
Yeah.
If these are all things that matter to you, well, it's pretty simple that Joe Biden's on your side and Donald Trump is going to destroy your life.
Yeah.
So think about these.
I'm glad you mentioned Florida because I noticed that Donald Trump said something interesting today during one of his playpen talks outside the courtroom. You know, he goes out to the parking garage and they've got a playpen set up for him.
He says so he plays with like action figures
and
stuff. Yeah,
squeaky toys are there for him. There's a Nyla bone somehow in there that he can chew on. And so he went out there and he said that, you know, I'd much rather be in Florida and Georgia, states that are in play right now. So I think Donald Trump let it slip that he's got internal polling showing that Georgia and Florida are, quote unquote, his words, in play right now. And obviously, Florida being the more important of those two
states. Right, we knew Georgia probably would be because we won it last time.
Yeah.
Even though it was close as hell.
Yeah, it'll be close.
But we did.
Yeah.
So I expected that to be in play, but I absolutely think Florida is. Again, look, we've seen a shift of 8 points or, you know, somewhere in that range since Dobbs, and even more, you know, because of democracy and other stuff. And it happened. I always talk to you after these things. I feel like we talked about this last time. It happened again yesterday.
Yeah.
A special election in New York in a House seat in a plus six Democratic district. But the Democrat last time won it by 22 points.
Yeah.
This time they won it by 36 points.
Incredible.
It went up 14% above expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to do 14% above expectations in the presidential election, you know, Joe Biden would not only win Florida and not only win Georgia and North Carolina, he'd win Ohio, he'd win Iowa, he'd win Texas, might have a shot at winning Missouri at that point.
Yep.
And Indiana. So, I mean, like, you know, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen. We have to work hard to make it happen. And we have to make sure everybody understands how important it is to get out and vote, and that, you know, you may not love every Joe Biden policy. You may not like, you know, it may not be he's your BFF. But again, this is about a democracy and keeping a democracy. And mm-hmm. part of the thing about democracy is you don't need to feel like you're going to marry whoever you vote for.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, if you do feel like that, there's probably something scary about you. What you should feel yeah. like is I'm going to vote for the best person who best represents my values. I think, mm-hmm. you know what, I can end. I know we're almost done.
Yeah.
Colin Jost said it best the other night, mm-hmm. which is he was talking about how the last vote his grandfather took, who had been a firefighter on Staten Island, mm-hmm. not a place, the place most infamous for Republicans in New York City, much more, I mean, every other part of New York City is like 95% Republican, and Staten Island is like 95% Democratic, and Staten Island's like 70% Republican. Mm-hmm. And he said, but my grandfather voted for you before he died, and he said he did it because he said that you have decency.
Yeah.
You're a decent person. And that is what this comes down to. Will you vote? Because MAGA is all about indecency. It's mm-hmm. about all the things that we weren't supposed to talk about. We weren't supposed to push on other people. It's about greed and stealing from people. It's about religious fundamentalism and telling other people what to believe and how to behave. It's about attacking them personally. It's about, you know, it's about being better than other people because of what race you are, what color, you know, what creed, you know, what gender. And, you know, either you vote for that indecency or you vote for the decency of Joe Biden.
That's right.
Who has passed bills like I brought up, the Inflation Reduction Act and the mm-hmm. COVID bill that got shots at arms, you know, so that we fewer people died than would have. And the infrastructure bill that created jobs and has done all these things, fought for rights for the LGBTQ community and for, you know, and fought for abortion rights and will as president, we reelect him, and has gotten us again gun legislation and got the elderly for the first time, something we've been fighting for 30 years, Medicare, the right to negotiate prescription drugs. So prices of many of these drugs went down 30-40%, and many more things that I just don't even have the time to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stock market record, lowest unemployment in 50 years, you know, on and on and on.
Yep.
Think, and please don't believe some crazy person on your social media feed. Joe Biden is trying to make things better. He is
yes.
an imperfect man, the way I am an imperfect man. Not Bob. Bob's perfect. But I'm kidding. I mean,
thank you.
We are all imperfect, and he's not going to be for everything you want him to be for. Mm-hmm. But he's a decent person trying to do the right thing.
Right.
And you know what? Like, that is the polar opposite of what Donald Trump and MAGA stands for.
Well, that's a great way to end, Cliff. Thank you. So the YouTube channel, let's talk about that for a second. Have you done the rebrand yet? We were talking about that, I think, last time. You're going to rebrand the YouTube channel, new name.
So the assets are all done, which is to yeah. say I've got my new logo. I've got all this new stuff. I need to now just put it up.
Yeah.
I need to find the moment to put it up or whatever, but I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be Cliff's Edge, you should all know.
And all right.
I'm hoping by the end of this week or beginning of next week, but you should know that as of this moment, it's still under called Blue Amp Channel, but you can find it at C Schechter. That's the best way to do it. We got about 42,000 plus subscribers, so we've been growing. You know, I was on with you maybe a month ago, and we've mm-hmm. really kind of, you know, in the last month, 5,000-6,000 new subscribers.
Oh, that's
so
incredible.
We're making some real, real progress. So I'm excited about it.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you again next time. Good talk.
All right, thanks for having me on, buddy, as always.
Take care, you bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Rolled her eyes at the room. Wouldn't last, she assumed. Screw the room. Screw the room. On the bed, sore reminder of the home she had.